I want to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. And if you want to look at it, I'll mention a few things from Luke, chapter 13. Going to kind of back up just a little bit. When you study chronologically through the Gospels, you're going to find some things that are a little bit hard to place exactly when they happened. And there's a lot of different ideas about some things, but we finished out chapter 13 last week, but I want to back up just a little bit because there's an account that takes place in John chapter 10, kind of a lengthy account that it very well could fit, and I think probably does fit, in between Luke chapter 13, verse 22, and Luke chapter 13, verse 23. And so we want to take the time to go back and catch this portion of Scripture. Because we read in Luke chapter 13 and verse 22, he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. I told you that I believe that that statement really has more to do with the idea of just Jesus moving towards that final time of his Passion Week, but also that he did visit Jerusalem a couple of times in his later, what they call Perean ministry. He had moved from Galilee back to the Jerusalem area, then went across the Jordan River to the other side of the river and did ministry there before the last time period of his life. But during that time, he did go back to Jerusalem a couple of times. And so one of those times we have recorded, I think, in John chapter 10. And so John chapter 10, verse 22 is where we're going to find our text tonight. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the word of God this evening. John 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believed not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, I pray for your grace to help me preach your word tonight. I pray that you would just open our eyes, that we might see and understand, open our ears, that we might hear and understand, Lord, the truths from your word tonight. I pray, Father, as we consider who you are and what you've done for us, that our hearts just would be filled with love and that we would be motivated to go from this place and serve you in a greater way. Forgive our sin and help now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. And please be seated. Two very simple things tonight as we consider the place and time that Jesus is here in Jerusalem and the purpose and truth of why he was there and why he came. It was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. When you study your Bible about dedication, you're not likely to find a lot to say about it because this wasn't one of the feasts that got established in the law. This was a feast that was added by the Jews in commemoration of events in past. And I think Matthew Henry does a good job of explaining it, so let me just share this with you. We have here the time when this conference was. It was at the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter, a feast that was annually observed by consent in remembrance of the dedication of a new altar and the purging of the temple by Judas Maccabeus after the temple had been profaned and the altar defiled. We have a history, we have the story of it at large in the history and so of the Maccabees. Now, Maccabees is not part of Scripture. It's not part of canon, but there are some historical benefits there as well. Just like we would go to the writings of Josephus and we would learn about history from that, we can do the same thing from the Maccabees. It doesn't belong in your Bible, but there are historical things that we can learn from the book of the Maccabees. Now, we have prophecy of some things that would go on in Daniel, but the return of their liberty was to them as life from the dead, and in remembrance of it, they kept an annual feast on the 25th day of the month Chislew, about the beginning, it's kind of where we're at right now, beginning of December, and 7 days after. The celebrating of it was not confined to Jerusalem as that of the divine feast was, but everyone observed it in his own place, not as a holy time, but as a good time, as are the days of Purim in Esther chapter 9, when they commemorate what happened in the days of Esther and the saving of the Jews there. So Jesus forecasted to be now at Jerusalem, not necessarily because of the feast, but that was what was going on while Jesus was there. And so there was a time when the altar was profaned, and the altar was then cleansed, and the Jews, in celebration of the rededication of the temple after it had been profaned, they set aside a day to remember the good that had happened. And so this wasn't something that was commanded in Scripture, just what was going on at that time. The feast of renewing, the feast of renovation, the feast of getting the temple cleansed after it had been defiled by Gentiles. So that's what was going on. It was wintertime there. And in that time period, at the end of our November and the beginning of December, so it was about this same time of year that Jesus was there in Jerusalem. And so, Jesus is there. He's walking on the area known as Solomon's Porch. This was an area around the outside of the Temple Mount. This was a huge, huge place. I mentioned a little this morning how the main part of the temple, the holy place, was 150 feet tall. The area, the courtyards around the temple were huge. Solomon's Porch was on the outside of that. It was a covered area. A lot of people speculate, well, maybe it was wintertime, so it was cold and snowy, and Jesus was walking in a covered area. Listen, I don't know that you can pull that much out of it, but the Bible's very specific about where Jesus was and when it was and what was going on. And so that's the place, that's the time. Now listen, the purpose and the truth, why he was there. The Jews came round about him in verse 24 and said unto them, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. The Jews found out Jesus was there, and they gathered around him. A multitude of them come around him. It's a big open area in that Solomon's Porch, that area. A lot of people could have gathered around, and they had just, some of them had come to the place. They just wanted to know. Just tell us. Just say the words, I am the Christ. Just say the words, I am Messiah. Just tell us plainly. And I want you to look at Jesus' response, what he had said, I told you, and ye believed not. You can just study from this point the scriptures that have come before that we've looked at in the book of John, in the book of Luke, how many times Jesus has declared himself plainly to be God. I am, he said. He's told them time and time again that I have come to do the works of my Father. He has told them plainly many times, and he said, I told you, but you didn't believe. I want you to notice the works. Verse 25, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In our Sunday school class today, and again in our continued discipleship this evening, we talked a little bit about spiritual gifts. There were miraculous spiritual sign gifts that were done early on. And I think it's very interesting. We know that those things were done away with when the scriptures were completed. But in those days, they needed the miracles, they needed the works to verify their message. The miracles validated their message. And what did Jesus say? I told you you didn't believe my word. But if you don't believe my word, you can at least believe for the very works' sake. What was it that Nicodemus said to Jesus when he came to him by night? No man could do the works that you do unless he came from God. You see, the works that Jesus did validated his words. His miracles validated his message. And Nicodemus got it. Nicodemus didn't understand it all. Even in the midst of Jesus giving him the gospel plainly, he didn't understand it all. But there was enough there. The works were enough to bring him to Jesus to find out more. And that's what the Lord says to these today. You believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But, verse 26, ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. If you won't believe my words, believe for the work's sake. So who are these that are the sheep of God? I want to invite you to turn back in your Bibles to John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Nobody could do the miracles that you do except God send him. God be with him. But Jesus' response to Nicodemus in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought or worked in God. I want to take the time to point all that out to you because of this. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Who is it that Jesus gives eternal life to? All who believe. All who believe. John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What is it that separates? A lot of people, when we study the New Testament, you'll find the passage that talks about the judgment of the goats and the sheep, and there's a lot much made of that. the difference between the goats and the sheep, that Jesus died, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But I want to submit to you tonight that Jesus gave his life for all mankind. He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus was lifted up to draw all men unto himself. He's the payment for all sin. And I want you to understand this tonight. When Adam sinned against God in the garden, he not only brought a curse on himself personally, but he brought a curse on all of mankind. And not only on all of mankind, but the very ground was cursed for his sake. And what happened was God basically, to simplify it the only way I know how, God gave the title deed of everything in creation to Adam, and Adam gave it up to the devil. But when Jesus comes again the second time, friends, he's going to get it all back. He has made the payment for all things, and one day he'll make all things new, because Jesus Christ's payment on the cross wasn't just for you and me, but it was for the whole world and everything that was cursed by sin. He removes all of the damage that sin has done to creation. Jesus Christ will make all things new, because he alone is worthy. You see, I want you to understand tonight, nobody is born a sheep. We're not born into the flock of God. Listen, we hate the light, because our deeds are evil. But when we turn from our sin and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he makes us his child. We're born in sin. We're born with a sin nature. Without Jesus Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sins. I want you to understand that nobody is born into the flock of God. And those Jews, that was part of their problem, is they thought because they were the seed of Abraham that they were good. They thought because they had the law of Moses that they were good. They didn't understand that each individual person had to make a choice whether to believe in Jesus or not. And so he told them, "My sheep, hear my voice, and I know them." We ask people a lot of times, "Do you know Jesus?" And we've talked about this so many times, but and I think that's a great question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Here's a better question. Does he know you? At the judgment, does he know you? Or will you be one that he says, "I never knew you"? What's the difference? The difference, friends, is not your works. In Matthew chapter 8, the people who Jesus says, "I never knew you," were people who did many wonderful works in his name. It's not about your works. It's about your faith in his work. If we're going to be his sheep, we've got to hear his voice, we've got to be known of him, and we've got to follow him by faith. And when we hear his voice and we're known of him and we follow him by faith, then he gives us eternal life because of faith. And I want you to notice that we never perish. Never perish. The Lord tends to reiterate things for people like us. He tends to say the same thing multiple times because we're kind of hard-headed. You guys help me out, right? He says, "I give to them eternal life." If you have eternal life, is it necessary for Jesus to say, "And they shall never perish"? Is that not the same thing? To live forever means to never die, right? But why does he say both? Because we need it. You have eternal life and you'll never die. Because some of you are like me and you've got some good friends around here that are of the impression that they have eternal life, but they may die someday. You understand what I'm saying? I have eternal life, but I might not tomorrow. I might sin some big sin and not repent before I die, and then I'll end up in hell. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not really sure whose gospel that is. Maybe the devil's. Maybe that's Satan's gospel. That you don't get eternal life, or if you do get eternal life, but you still might die. But that's not what Jesus said. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But friends, your salvation isn't dependent on you. It's dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And when you come to Jesus by faith, he holds you in his hand. And you have eternal life, and you'll never perish. And then he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Who's greater than God? That's a silly question, isn't it? I remember meeting a guy on a job site one time and sharing the gospel with him. He was of a different denomination, and we went through all of this, and I brought these verses up to him and showed him, and he says, yeah, but I can take myself out. Let's rewind a little bit. No man is able. Well, no other man, but I can take myself out. Hold on, let's go back a little bit. No man is able. That means no other man and not this man. And isn't it good to know you're secure in your Father's hands? I love every word that Jesus says here. My Father. What's what he say in verse 30? I and my Father are one. I hold you in my hand. My Father holds you in his hand. And I and my Father are one. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. By faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're put in the hands of Jesus. You're put in the hands of the Father. And no one will ever take you out. We're not born sheep, we're born sinners. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I just want all of us to be reminded tonight of where we were. I think there's a real danger of being lifted up with pride a little bit. I'm a sheep. I'm in the Father's fold. I belong to Jesus. And I think there's a real danger for us to look at where we are today as though we got ourselves here. But friends, it's not of works. It's grace. And if it's not of grace, then what's the point of all of it? But it is of grace, and it's not of works. It's not what we've done. Listen, if you're going to heaven today, if you are a child of God, if you are a sheep in his fold, you didn't put yourself there. He did that. And I think it's really critical that we remember, because it's so easy for us to look at where we are compared to where other people are and think we're something, when in fact we're nothing. So look with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, we sin because we're sinners, but let's not forget the fact that we sinned, that we trespassed against God, that we violated his law, that we missed the mark. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But make no mistake about it, friends, you and I, we weren't just out there with the world and in the world, but we were the world. And we walked in their course. We went their way. And you might say, well, preacher, I don't know what somebody told you, but I really wasn't all that bad. Compared to who? Now, some of you might be thinking about somebody else in the church right now. And you ought not be doing that. Why? Well, I want to tell you something, friends. When I look at my past and where I was without Christ, it's not me compared to, oh, Brother Tom or Brother Randy or Brother Freddie back there. It's me compared to the Word of God. I'm not judged by how good or bad I did compared to somebody else. My kids... I think my kids are way better than I was when there was when I was their age. Don't tell my mama I said that. You think my kids, their standing with God is based on how much better they are than me or their mama? No, they're going to be held to the same standard. Friend, that ought to be terrifying to us tonight. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. Did you hear it? According to the prince of the power of the air. We walked in the devil's way. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the same spirit that's working in those that we would look down on and we would look in judgment on, that's where we were. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you get it? We were the children of wrath. We were as wicked as you could get, as hopeless as you could get, as dark as you could get. You see, I think we ought to rejoice today if we're saved that we are sheep in the Father's fold. We ought to rejoice that we're children of the King. Listen, there ought to be a little bit of smile just inside of you when you call somebody in this church brother or sister. You realize that? What are we talking about? The brethren. Why? Because we are children of God because of faith in Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. I know I get around some people outside of church sometimes and they hear us call each other brother and they kind of look at us weird. Right? But that's a special thing. We are born of the Spirit of God into the family of God. We are children of the King of Kings. But I think it's important that we remember where we were to appreciate where we are. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You were dead, now you're alive. You were in darkness, but you've been brought into his marvelous light. You were a child of the devil, and now you are a child of the Savior. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Are you a sheep in Jesus' fold? See, he gives some identifiers. They're alive. They're not dead anymore. I think it's important for us to note tonight that those who are really Jesus' sheep, they hear his voice. Is he talking to you day by day? Yeah, he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his spirit. But if you're not in the word of God, then you're not hearing his voice. Did you get that? Because his sheep hear his voice. But if you're not in the word, then you're not hearing his voice. So what does that say? He knows them, Does Jesus know you tonight? What's he going to say at the judgment? Well done, or depart. And they follow me. In your life, day by day, are you following Jesus? Declare unto us plainly. Tell us plainly if thou be the Christ. So he comes down to where we have verse 30. I and my Father are one. It doesn't get any more plain than that. If you know Jesus, then you know the Father. And you can't know the Father unless you come through Jesus Christ. I want to ask you tonight, are you a child of God? If you're not, you can be. Salvation's available to all because Christ died for all. And if you would turn from your sin to him tonight, if you would put your faith in Jesus Christ, he will give you everlasting life and you will never, ever perish. If you are saved, I hope you can rejoice a little bit more tonight in what Christ has done for you. I think it's good for all of us to remember where we were without Christ and to rejoice in where we are with Christ. Tonight, let's stand together. Jesus declared plainly. He told them plainly, I and my Father are one. There's not a more clear statement in the Gospels. When Jesus declared him to be equal with God, he declared himself to be God. That's who our faith is in tonight. The creator of all things, the one who died for you and rose again. And if he's convicting your heart tonight about any decision, you come while we sing.
Page 516.
Number 516.